I thought that the bargain I had with Josh was that if I preached a sermon, he would lead the music and worship some Sunday. But I guess solo was great, Josh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several years ago, I read a book entitled Victory Over the Darkness by Neil Anderson. And chapter 5 of that book was particularly inspirational to me. It was a challenge. It was a time in my spiritual walk where I needed to have that. And so I'm going to be borrowing some of the inspiration from this book, Victory Over the Darkness by Neil Anderson, chapter 5. If you have not read this book or don't know the work of Neil Anderson, I encourage you to find some of his material. It's very, very helpful. What does it mean to become or to be a spiritual person? How can we move to the point of pursuing godliness rather than simply satisfying our own fleshly wants and desires? How do we crucify the flesh and walk in accordance with who we are in Christ? How can we be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." How do we learn to walk in grace? How do we learn to walk in the Spirit? There's no set formula for answering these questions. There's no 1, 2, 3, that if you do these three things, you will be walking according to the Spirit and not walking after the flesh. If there were, I would write a book, and the proceeds from it, I could fund all the mission projects of our church. But there is no simple formula, simple 1, 2, 3, to answer these questions. But this morning we're going to look at some of the things that will help us to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit and to become the spiritual persons that God wants us to be. There are many ways that we can think of our human existence, of our makeup as people. How are we put together? What do we consist of? And there's a chart, a diagram that I find very helpful. You'll notice in this there are three concentric circles. On the outside is the body. The next circle in we will call the soul, which consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then the inside circle is the spirit. This is just one way of thinking about who we are as people, how our existence is. The body, which is the outside circle, is our physical being. That's how we recognize one another. When I see Tim walk in, I recognize that it's Tim because I see how he looks. When I look at Gideon, I see who Gideon is. The body, the outside, is what we see, what we recognize, what we take care of, what helps us move and live and have our being. But the next circle on the inside, the soul, is in some ways more complicated, consisting of the mind, the will, and the emotions. In the Bible, often the words soul and heart are used interchangeably. The Bible talks about the heart of man is evil and wicked. The soul would be another way of talking about that. And so we can think of soul and heart, not our heart that pumps, but the heart of our being, as interchangeable with soul. Or maybe you would think of that as a person's personality, not something that you can see, but helps to define who they are and how they respond and how they think and how they feel. So that's what that next circle is. Consisting of our mind, our will, and our emotions. In our mind, we have our thoughts, our dreams, our fantasies, and we can control what we think. We have a choice about what we think. In our will, we make decisions. Every day, we make many decisions. Many decisions that affects our life. And our emotions are the way we feel. Now, emotions are neither good or bad. Sometimes we think that emotions have a value, are good or bad, but emotions are just that, emotions. They are signals or indications of what's going on inside of us. But in the center is the spirit. The spirit is the core of our being. The spirit is the center of who we are. Sometimes we think that we are a body and we happen to be encased, have a spirit that's encased in this body. But really our existence is, first of all, as a spiritual being and we happen to have a body for this time. The spirit of us is what will last for eternity. The spirit is what goes on forever. The spirit is the core of who we are as individuals. That's our true identity, even more than our mind, will, and emotions, which is our heart and our soul, or even more than our physical being. We need to think of ourselves as spiritual beings that for this time have a body. There are many different ways to categorize people. There are a lot of personality tests. Some of the personality tests will divide into four categories. You are one of these four kinds of people. Maybe you've taken that kind of a test. Other tests will divide into eight kinds of people or personality tests. Sometimes we talk about gifting. And in one passage in the Bible, there are, we call it the fivefold gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes you take a test on gifting and it might have 23 different categories. That's one of the tests that some of us have used here. So there are different ways of thinking about who we are as people. Sometimes we even describe body types. My chiropractor once was telling me about several different major body types, the solid, thick, or the slender and thin, or just different kinds of things like that. But this morning we're going to be talking about three types of people in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual being, not in our body type or in our personality, in our gifting. The natural person is how we are born. We come into the world as a natural person, a fallen person, a person with sin, with a sin nature. That's the natural person. The spiritual person is what we become when we come to faith and we make a decision to be a follower of Jesus. We will be using the term spiritual person this morning for that person. And the fleshly or carnal person is what we as believers sometimes slip into. What we sometimes become if we don't learn to walk in the Spirit. The Bible warns us against living according to the flesh, living according to our carnal or fleshly nature. And so we're going to use the term carnal person as the third kind of person this morning who does not walk by the Spirit. Let's look a little more carefully at each of these. The natural person, how we are born, tries to find purpose and meaning in life independently from God. This person is focused on himself or herself, on his needs, on her fleshly desires. This person struggles with inferiority, insecurity, inadequacy, guilt, worry, and doubt. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 gives us a concise description of the natural person. It says that the natural person is spiritually dead, separated from God, and is living completely independently from God. In this person's spirit, thinking of the inner circle, they are dead to God. They are unable to fulfill the purpose for which they were created. And since they have no life in God, it is inevitable that they're going to walk in sin, that they are going to choose to sin. That is just the natural course of events for the natural person. This person in their soul, that middle circle that's the mind, the will, and the emotions, their mind is full of obsessive thoughts and fantasizing. Their will is completely directed by their flesh, and they experience in their emotions a lot of bitterness, anxiety, and depression. The Bible says that if we walk according to the flesh, we will choose the deeds of the flesh, which are many, and included in them is immorality, impurity, jealousy, anger, idolatry, and drunkenness. The natural person does not view their body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. They live to satisfy and serve the flesh, to serve themselves. In contrast to that, the spiritual person has been transformed through the forgiveness of sin and is part of God's family. With the spirit being in the center of the being, from that radiates out and affects all the other parts. The mind, will, and emotions, which are the soul or the heart, it also affects the outside, the bodies in which our spirit is living. The spirit is the center or the core. This person experiences salvation, forgiveness, assurance, security, acceptance, and worth. Their mind is transformed by the power of God. This person is single-minded and focused on God. They are ready for spiritual action, and they are free to choose not to walk according to the flesh. That's an important characteristic of the spiritual person, that they are free to choose not to walk according to the flesh. This person experiences the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love that song that we sometimes sing with the children that goes like this. Maybe we should get Josh to sing this. The fruit of the Spirit's not bananas, and it could be apples or oranges or peaches, it doesn't matter. The fruit of the Spirit's not bananas. The fruit of the Spirit's not bananas. Let me tell you what the fruit really is. And I like that we sing scripture songs. It helps to get it in our mind. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when I'm singing that song, I'm much more sure of getting all of them in and in order than if I just try to say them. That's the mind of the person and the will controlled by the Spirit. In their emotions, a person who's walking in the Spirit will experience peace and joy and have a positive sense of self-worth. The spiritual person understands that his or her body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and they try to honor that. They consider themselves dead to sin and turn from sin, and they present their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, this description of the spiritual person is very ideal, but it is the goal. Most of us don't live there all the time. But as we mature and are sanctified, as we are being made holy and made into the likeness of Christ, we move closer and closer to this ideal. The fleshly or carnal person, in contrast to that, is a Christian but is not living in victory or in the power of the Spirit. This person is alive in Christ but is quenched by sin. They experience the habits and patterns of sinfulness, and these are deeply ingrained in their being. They follow the impulses of the flesh and live independently from God. They are double-minded, filled with carnal thoughts, and often walk after the flesh, choosing immorality, impurity, jealousy, anger, idolatry, and drunkenness. They seldom walk after the Spirit, and they seldom experience the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Their emotions are unstable. They are plagued with negative feelings. They may carry intense feelings of inferiority, insecurity, inadequacy, guilt, worry, and doubt. They don't view their body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. In that way, they are just like the natural person. This person is a Christian. They are a believer. But they are yielding themselves to their flesh instead of to God. But our goal is to walk in the Spirit, to walk with Christ, to experience victory over temptation and over sin. Sin comes to us in many forms. It comes to us in the world through things that we see, things that we hear, things that we read. Temptation comes from the world in many, many, many forms. It also comes from our flesh or comes from within. It comes from our sin nature. It comes just naturally, it seems. Temptation will come. And of course, Satan, the enemy of our soul, also brings temptation to us. And he does that in many, many ways, sometimes through other people, sometimes through what we see or hear. But temptation can come to us in many, many different ways. And it seems that we naturally want to walk according to the flesh because of our sin nature. We just naturally have a propensity to move in that direction. But we need to learn to crucify the flesh daily and to walk in the power of the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, walking in the Spirit is not licensed to do whatever we want to do. We sometimes feel that the commandments of God are restrictive, but the commandments of God are not restrictive. They are protective. They are for our own good. Whether you're looking at the Ten Commandments or looking at other scriptures in the New Testament where God is giving us instructions, where Jesus says things to do, things not to do, those are not intended to be restrictive on us. They are there for our own protection. And don't we all acknowledge that when we give in to temptation, there are always serious consequences, either internally or externally. Walking in the Spirit is also not legalism. It's not following a set of rules or guidelines. Galatians 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We know that the law is powerless to give life, and yet it's there as our protection, not as our restriction. So walking in the Spirit is not license. It's not a license to do whatever we want. It's not legalism. It's not a regimen. It's not a religious code of ethics. It's not a set of rules. It's not a formula. Galatians 5:16 and 17, which we read earlier, says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Rather, walking in the Spirit requires a relationship with God. It requires communion with God. It requires walking and relating to Him. In my devotions this week, I was reading in Colossians and reading chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. But chapter 3 particularly struck me as being very relevant and close to our topic this morning. So if you just flip, let's see, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Flip further in your Bible, about three or four books, if you want to come to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm reading out of the NIV, verses 1 through about 14 or 15. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's our heart. We talked about our heart, or our soul, the mind, will, and emotions. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Again, the mind is part of our soul, is part of our heart. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, that's an instruction. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, referring to the natural person, the natural state that we were born into. But now, as a spiritual person, we are walking not according to that. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Again, talking about that transformation, that renovation of the heart that happens when we leave the life of the natural person and move to the life of the spiritual person. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Remember, the Spirit is the core of who we are, and as Christ dwells in us, that becomes the core of our identity. Not our family name, not our occupation, not our gender, not our relationships with other people, not our woundedness, not the things we struggle with, but Christ is the center of our being. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A slightly different list than the fruit of the Spirit that we saw in Galatians, but these are still fruits of the Spirit. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. And it continues. Colossians chapter 3 is a wonderful, wonderful passage. So we've talked about what walking in the Spirit is not. What is walking in the Spirit? For one thing, walking in the Spirit means walking in freedom. Freedom in Christ is one of the most precious things that we have received from our spiritual union with God. The Spirit of truth leads us to freedom, to live responsible, moral lives. Walking in the Spirit also means that we walk in truth and in integrity. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have a choice as believers whether to walk according to the Spirit or to walk according to the flesh. Walking according to the Spirit means that we are dwelling in Christ. It means that we are living in His presence. It means that we are listening to that still small voice of the Spirit within us. Matthew 11:28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Are you experiencing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit in freedom and in truth and in integrity? I challenge you today with two questions. Number one, which kind of person are you? I encourage you to take a moment just to think carefully, honestly. Which kind of person are you? Are you a natural person? Are you the spiritual person? Or the carnal person? And the second question is, which kind of person do you want to be? If you are a natural person and you have never turned your life over to God or never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, we encourage you to make that decision today. Find a pastor, find a parent, find a friend, a mentor, a teacher, a spouse, somebody that you love and trust. Somebody who's walking in the Spirit. Somebody whose life gives evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, and talk with them. Let them help guide you to take that step of faith, to turn your life over to Jesus. If that's you today, that's the most important decision you will ever, ever make. And if today you would identify with the carnal person, you are a believer but you are living in the flesh, you have wandered far from God and you're satisfying the desires of your sinful nature, our encouragement to you is to come home. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He was still a son. He still belonged to that household, even though he had walked away. But the father welcomed him back home. Welcomed him into his embrace. So if you find today that you are a believer, but you're wandering in sin, wandering far from God, our encouragement today is come home. Come back home. That's where you belong. And if today you find that you are walking in the Spirit, you're walking in truth and freedom, and you're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, press on. Be faithful. Walk in humility, walk carefully, walk faithfully, but keep going. And find somebody else, a brother or a sister in the faith that you can walk with, that you can encourage, that you can challenge, that you can be a friend to, a spiritual mother or father, a spiritual brother or sister. As we conclude the message this morning, I'd like to read the words of the hymn that we will be using as our song of response. And it simply says, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Dead to the world, dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee, moving from the carnal or natural person into the spiritual life. Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self may I be, walking in the Spirit, walking in freedom, walking in with the fruit. I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy Spirit, lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord, come with anointing, showers of grace send down from above. A beautiful hymn. I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward at this time. And please turn in your hymnals to number 514. Number 514.